Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's for Women. Discover female health insurance through It's for Women.
Good day to you all. It's Oliver on the air till 10. It is Tuesday in April, and April's at the exact halfway point this morning. 15 days in, 15 to go. Decent day here now in Dublin. Dry out, but you need the coat at the same time. The lawnmowers are busy, but the barbecues, I'd say, have the covers back on. As you were, tap out your thoughts to us on the WhatsApp. That's 087-032-3232 North and South. And from anywhere at all, you can email us, oliver@rte.ie. Now, this morning, you might remember the Priests. They were the music industry sensation at the end of the noughties, the Holy See's answer to Westlife itself. Three parish priests, all of them from up north, and they continued working in their churches throughout their stardom, but their classical renditions and beautiful voices broke records, and they outsold established rock stars in CD form, as they still was in the mid-noughties, with renditions such as these. Kind of a holy Il Divo. We're going to be chatting to all three men later. Still priests, by the way, very busy with the Holy Week Masses. And they're talking to us ahead of a new documentary about their sudden stardom that they had back then and their decision now to finally retire. It's an interesting yarn from up north. By the way, the north has been hammered this morning, as you heard in the news there, by that ESRI report funded by the government, showing lower earnings, lower employment levels compared to the south. I heard a woman in Morning Ireland saying very casually, oh, it's to do with low productivity up there, poor quality foreign investment, poor education finishing. That's a, take it handy. It's a first before breakfast. Some things make the north a much better place. Cheaper housing, cheaper rents. I mean, the fact that you can actually find places to rent already makes it a more functioning market than down here. Lower taxes, of course, lower VAT. It's cheaper for medicines. If you've ever bought paracetamol, you'll be stunned. Dentists, I think, are cheaper. Many supermarket goods as well. Drink, of course, is cheaper. Restaurants cheaper. The North has no carbon tax on any of their fuel or energy bills. No deposit return machines that turned the South from the best recyclers on earth with the green bins to the most aggravated recyclers in the world. They've no road tolls up north. No GP charges. It has that fancy NHS app where I've seen people showing me their medical records on an app. Can you believe your GP in the South doesn't even have your medical records unless they ring 40 other GPs you might have had. I think they've got the same, definitely lower road taxes, but almost the same road tax slapped on something that is 6 litres or 1.1. No VRT on the cars that are cheaper as well. Car washes everywhere, if that's your thing. And a better tato with a wider variety of flavours. Spring onion. Still Irish owned, the tato there as well. Worcester sauce flavour as well. I'm still on the tato. The 15's tray bake, very important as well. Nicer trains, if you've ever been on the Enterprise to Belfast. And streets in the north are actually policed, which is a big, big surprise if you're down south and you go up there. They have the Titanic too. However, in this morning's Irish Independent, we learned that Cove has stolen that from them as well. The south will never stop pilfering away from the north. Cove wins battle to host Titanic convention as the 113th anniversary of the sinking is marked. So the British Titanic Society votes every year to where to hold its convention. And next year, they're coming to Cove, which of course was Queenstown at the time of the White Star Line's last port of call in 1912. The maiden voyage took on 113 third class passengers and a few first class in Cove. Two thirds of the Irish aboard, including many crew, died in the disaster. So they met in Liverpool last week and the British Titanic Society voted heavily in favour of going to Cork. They fought off other candidate venues, including Anwick, Northumberland, which was the home of the captain and of the lost vessel, and Rotterdam, and holding it on the SS Rotterdam, which is in Southampton. But previously they came to the Commodore Hotel in Cove and went to the Old Hellicken Sail as well. And apparently they could also make a trip to Yall in their 2026 convention, which is the home of heroic Titanic able seaman Jack Foley, who captained a lifeboat with 50 souls on board in the wake of the sinking. And he survived and he found the ship's keys from the Titanic in his pocket, brought them home. Only the wife threw them out because she liked to keep things tidy and thought this was rubbish she'd kept from one of his jobs. And that was a mistake because a single Titanic locker key sold for €85,000, €98,000 in fact. There you go. So that's happening next year They've taken it from Belfast. The row goes on between Cove and Belfast for who owns the Titanic. Speaking of Cork, I'm looking here in the Examiner as well. And Taoiseach Micheál Martin vows to get the Cork Lewis on track. Maria, the computer-generated image, which is all this this Lewis tram will ever be, let's face it, on St. Patrick's, showing us how it might look if we were a country that could actually build these things. The construction might begin by 2030. It'll be 2040 by the time anyone goes on Lewis, even if they get up and running and do the thing now, which is just unbelievable, really, isn't it? Scheme, there's no point. You can look at the Examiner and you can dream on if you lived in a continental nation. There'd be big cycle lanes through Patrick Street and there'd be nobody on them. That's what you'll get instead. The Irish Daily Mail, on a more serious note, has this story about the so-called free HRT, which is in inverted commas on the front page. Why? Because it doesn't exist. It is legislated for. The laws come into effect on the 1st of January. The implementation is delayed in a row between the government and pharmacists. No date set for its commencement. And the Irish Daily Mail can reveal the scheme will not be backdated when it's finally implemented. This is the bane of pharmacists in particular, who say that women have come into them from the 1st of January expecting their free HRT treatments, and they're told, sorry, that scheme actually doesn't yet exist. And the people are irate with the pharmacist and says, you are charging me for it. You're taking money for a thing that's free. It's like, no, they didn't manage to do the hormone replacement therapy thing. So it's not a thing. Health Minister Jennifer Carroll McNeill has confirmed pharmacies will only be reimbursed for the cost of the medication from the date the measure actually commences. We don't know when that date is going to be. This is a much needed thing. And it's not good, but it's actually interesting to see a minister out saying things, because a lot of the ministers are very quiet, not existent. They have a timeline, by the way, of the HRT. September 2024, the then Taoiseach Micheál Martin confirms free HRT will be rolled out in 2025. Stephen Donnelly, remember him? Had secured the funding and the details will be fleshed out. Well, it's been fleshed out. It's now April and it hasn't happened. And by the way, the opposition are not great in that. That feels like something they could be hopping up and down about all the way through speaker time rights and so on, rows and so on. But didn't happen. Didn't happen in the meantime. AI is always in the news, but this is for a particular good reason. People do spring cleaning and they're thinking of changing their job. A lot of things that people change, patterns around sleeping, and new ideas around Easter time, apparently, particularly around April when you get the Easter holidays and the time has changed and so on. Career experts have advised candidates not to use artificial intelligence for the content of their CV, but instead just as a tool to help with structure. It is probably the most common use of things like ChatGPT to create your whole CV, and they agonise over it and then it just polishes for them just when you think you're going to go mad trying to write sentences. The report revealed growing concerns among employers about AI-generated CVs because they didn't accurately reflect the candidates they met at the interviews. Some of it actually is described as being over-professional. What AI will give you is that long-winded, very flowery language, very professional, sometimes over-professional a lot of the time. An employer screening the CV will see that clearly and very quickly. They spot the AI, basically, and then meet the person and go, oh, they didn't write this, that's for sure. And that's the rest. So don't use AI is the advice there. Apparently, no one's going to listen to that advice, I would expect. Now, since you're talking about everything going on over yonder with your man and the trade wars and so on, chlorinated chicken comes up a lot, particularly the Brits who have to do a trade deal. Now, they're 9 years on from Brexit and they still haven't even started talks with the Americans about the trade deal for their glorious releasing the shackles of doing trade with the biggest trade bloc in the world. So chlorinated American chicken comes on. In the Telegraph, Virginia Miller is a journalist who said, I've tried chlorinated American chicken, so you don't have to. And what is chlorine washing is a common sanitation practice in the US poultry industry, but there's no labelling requirements over there, so you don't know if they've done it or not. Some of them are kind of air chilled, like we do here, and then sometimes they wash it with chlorinated water. The EU has banned importation of chicken treated with chemical rinses. Now, the Americans say, well, this kills all the salmonella on it, but the EU says if you allow chlorine washing, that means poultry producers can cut corners early or in the supply chain, safe in the knowledge that any bacteria from basically bad farming practices and poor treatment and handling of the animals will be scrubbed off the chickens at the end of the process with the chlorine, you understand. What happens anyway? This woman bought a whole chicken and roasted it, and she says basically chlorinated chicken stays pale even after the roasting. Sounds absolutely vile. Once out of the oven, the chlorine washed chicken
has gained some brown colour, but is only sallow compared to the golden warmth and crispy skin of the air-chilled hen. Chlorine-washed white breast meat is dry and bland, no flavour. The dark meat is then either juicy or... It can be slimy, it can be juicy, which would be success, the brown meat around the legs and the side, or slimy. The skin is saggy and gummy in parts. Very little of it was crunchy. Comparatively, the air-chilled crispy chicken has crispy skin and is more flavoursome, basically, and it's succulent. The chlorine-washed one is a bit saltier as well. Neutral flavour, forgettable. Whereas the other one, subtle, meaty, savoury notes. It's nicer. Basically, chlorinated chicken is rotten, pure rotten. Now, chlorine is not exactly the issue here because it is used. All the ready-made salads, ready-to-eat salads that you buy are generally chlorine-washed in Ireland, Food Safety Authority tells me this morning. On the text coming in about the north, Northern Ireland, let's dogs on trains. Is that right? You can bring your pets on the trains in the north, so says this texter. The gym prices are cheaper in the north. My God, what is going on with gym prices? I mean, that should be discussed. It used to be 80 quid a month and people went, that's very dear if you don't use it. Now it's 250 quid easy a month because the gyms are very more gymmy. I don't know what they're doing differently that they're so expensive. And you just go there and get out as quickly as possible and shower at home. So you use fewer facilities and they're getting smaller. In the north, ladies' haircuts are a quarter of the price they are in the south, says this person. We're being seriously ripped off in Dublin for a cut and colour. You can get a curly blow dry for £10 sterling. Wow. And the quality, be brilliant and everything. Excellent. Better potatoes. I'm only speaking for England, not Northern Ireland here, but I can tell you the spuds are nothing like in Ireland. Compared to the Cares Pinks and the Golden Wonders, they are absolutely pants in England. I always make it a priority to bring home back a few when I'm over visiting, says John. That must be now a ferry that you'd be using. You can't fly with a bag of spuds. Imagine flying with a bag of spuds and arriving in Ryanair in the little measuring cage. They say that you can bring your bag in, and even if it's in, not anymore, apparently. But they say they haven't changed the policy. Listeners from the North text studio to 84988. That's not the thing, is it? That's what they do? No, we can text North and South now on the WhatsApp. But there is a Northern text. 80881, isn't that what it is? I can't remember. I don't think. Studio. But they use the WhatsApp and the email. You can go from everywhere as well, don't you? Don't you worry. The Harry Potter now fans are watching what's going on. HBO are doing an epic Harry Potter tele-adaptation. They're taking the movies and they're turning it into a series that's going to be made across 10 years or rolled out across 10 years. It's not really entirely clear. So for a whole generation, all the kind of Daniel Radcliffe's and Emma Watson's and Rupert, what's his name, who play Harry and so on. Those films are now so old, there's a whole generation for which they're just ancient, bad CGI and so on. So the Harry Potter adaptations are running and they formally announced the new cast. The main one you would have heard of is John Lithgow. He's going to play Dumbledore. There's a little bit of concern that this is an American because, of course, Richard Harris and Michael Gambon played him famously in the films. He's very good. He was a brilliant Winston Churchill in The Crown, actually. I was surprised because he's so tall for the role, but I thought he's very, very good in the end. So he's playing Dumbledore, which is extraordinary because he's 79 years of age and it's going to take 10 years to make all of this. So that's a brave casting there. Who else is going to be? Janet McAteer, never heard tell of her. She's going to be Minerva McGonagall, who's played by Maggie Smith. The Nick Frost, yeah, that seems like an obvious one, taking over from Robbie Coltrane as Hagrid. Papa Ezidju is playing Snape, famously played by Alan Rickman. My God, all these stars are passed on now, aren't they? That's how old these shows are. Well, they were older people anyway, they're played. That's a controversial one because Papa Ezidju is considered to be playing Snape. He's described in the books as having greasy shoulder-length black hair, hook nose, sallow skin. Papa Ezidju is a black actor. So obviously the internet is talking about that in all the wrong ways. And they obviously haven't cast the children, but they'd be unheard of because they're aged between 9 and 11. Now, the rumours are Cillian Murphy's been considered to play Voldemort, but they haven't confirmed that yet. And they're leaving that for another day of publicity. So we'll talk about that and probably get angry about it, I presume. I can't see him. Would he sign up for something 10 years? He's an Oscar winner. He's producing a lot of films now himself. Would he be bothered? You'd be wondering all that sort of stuff. Loads of coverage still by Rory McIlroy in the papers, obviously after fulfilling his life's dream. But what does he get? What else does he get for his master's triumph? We know he won $4.2 million and 10% of that probably goes to his caddy. There are other privileges as well. The green jacket we know as well. I was reading, he's free to wear the green jacket wherever he pleases for the next year. But after that, he can't leave the club grounds with the jacket. You'd go to town on the jacket, wouldn't you? Just read it. I was wondering, do they make jackets for how many of the players? And is there a tailor somewhere urgently making jackets in the corner, like the engraving of trophies and so on. They should cut to that, make the whole thing. Well, they didn't have to make it interesting this Sunday night. What else? He has to host an exclusive meal, invite-only affair for only past champions at next year, because he's the reigning champion. And he has to do that, and it'll happen in a dining room that no one else can attend. There's lots of, like, really nonsense elitist privileges, isn't there, attached to the golf? Like, the dress codes are gone everywhere else except in golf churches and even some clubs and restaurants and places like that. But in golf, there's a lot of, like, rubbish etiquette. Membership at Augusta National. He can tee up there anytime. He wouldn't have time if he was playing golf. Anytime between May, outside of May to October, when the club is closed. Oh, right. There's a champions locker room with lockers and parking spaces that only people who've won the Masters previously can use. And they're all going, oh, no one can ever go in there unless you're a Masters champion. Well, I think they probably let the cleaners in, don't they? So it's not, you know, that has to be cleaned. And a lifetime exemption to enter the Masters. Every year he can go to it, which is fascinating because just this year, Bernard Langer, many's the punchline to jokes about Cork people, and Fred Couples were both playing and played very well. They finished only one and two shots away from the cut. Langer is 67 and Couples is 65. But they can play every year. I think that's kind of amazing. Would McIlroy make a return visit forever? Actually, recently he upset Pádraig Harrington because he said he'd never join the seniors majors because he says something would have to go wrong for him in his life to be still playing golf after the age of 50. Which is the thing you say when you're 35, basically, isn't it? I'm not going to be working after 50. No way, Jose. Now, Marie Tunney, is a teacher at St. Patrick's Primary School in Hollywood. That's where Rory McIlroy began his education life. And she's on the line. Good morning, Marie.
Good morning, Oliver. How are you?
How are you? How is the buzz up there this morning? Still flying.
It's fabulous. I think we are. We're kind of recovering from yesterday, which was just... Yeah. An amazing day.
It was wild.
Such an exciting day. It was tremendous. Tremendous day for Rory, for our school, for Hollywood. Just amazing.
He's really popular up there, and his family as well, his little family. What was he like as a young child? Do you remember him as a little sprog coming in?
Well, a slightly bigger little sprog. I started in 1997, so I started with a P1 class, at which point Rory was already a P5.
What age are they in P1 and P5?
Well, P1 would be your junior infants and P5 is your third class, so by nine.
Oh, by nine, yeah. So he was about nine. Yeah.
Yeah, so when I started, that's the age he was. So I remember him just as a lovely kid. I remember him as a lively kid.
Oh, yeah.
There was plenty of fun, plenty of crack in him. He was always polite, hardworking, and he was very smiley, bit of a mischievous grin. But yeah, a lovely young man.
He was a cheerful, fluffy-headed young fella.
A cheerful, fluffy-headed young fella is an excellent description, yes, indeed.
You have a memory, don't you, of him coming back from a junior tournament, was it?
I do indeed, yeah. A junior tournament that he had gone off to the States to play, and he won it, and he came back to school victorious, and we had a special assembly, and I remember our principal at the time, a guy called Martin Myler, and he had got Rory up onto our stage in school.
Yeah,
and he opened one of our assembly hall doors, which is literally on the opposite end of the room. And the challenge for Rory was that he would hit a golf ball off the stage out through that door. Now, the rest of our children, as you can imagine, are seated on the floor in between the stage and that door, and teachers are sitting with them, thinking, "Oh my lord, he's not going to ask him to hit a golf ball over the head of all these children." This is awful, but he did, and Rory stepped up, and he took his shot, and he hit it right out through the door, and afterwards, we found out it wasn't actually a golf ball at all, it was a ping pong ball.
Oh, very good. He didn't miss, but thank God it was just a ping pong ball.
He didn't miss, but it was a ping pong ball.
That's great. There's no schools, are there? Oh, the school is open today.
We're open, yeah.
We're
open until Thursday, yeah.
Oh, wow.
So yesterday was tremendous in school. We were just, you know, we had calls from media. We had UTV in. We had BBC in. We had a special assembly. It was just an amazing day. Like, children are just beyond excited. You know, Rory is someone, you know, that they all know because, you know, he comes back and forth to Hollywood. He's a native of the town. And, you know, he's a tremendous role model for our pupils, and they look up to him, you know.
Brilliant, yeah.
And they can they can see what he has achieved through his hard work and his dedication and his perseverance, and that's superb for them to see as well. You know, that they just keep trying, keep working and dream big, you know, they can achieve their goals as well.
100%.
So just wonderful, yeah. Wonderful.
Well, bask in the glory, Hollywood, the centre of the universe for the week. And I think he's going to pop his head in there during the week, so you never know, you might spot him.
I think he is, yeah. We'd be very delighted to see him back with the trophy to school.
And when is your class P2? When do they get their Easter holidays?
They get their Easter holidays on Thursday. We finish half day on Thursday.
On Holy Thursday, mm-hmm. They'll be out the door. Oh, thank goodness. Another reason why the North is superior. They just do more days' work and everything up there, teacher.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. We work very hard up here.
Marie, Tony, I better let you get back to work.
That's great. Thank you,
Thank you so much. Bye-bye. Love the chat. Bye-bye. Enjoy that. And she was very nice, wasn't she? And that's the story of the ping pong ball. You can imagine thinking it was a golf ball flying over the heads of the wee kids. Very good. And then a message from the North. How proud we are in North, up North here between the priests and Rory. Wonderful. The priests singing bring great joy. We express our sincere thanks. Father Eugene's singing of St. John's Passion at Portadown on Sunday was amazing. He is gifted. And that's for Mary Jo. Well, we're going to have a chat to the three priests right after these.